Welcome to episode 516 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Christians are called to be peculiar people. And just as we ought to be peculiar as individuals, so too we ought to be peculiar as groups, as congregations, as churches. Remember, peculiar is distinctive, different, and special. Revelation 2 begins a series of brief letters to seven churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, that existed during the Apostle John's time. Each of these messages includes specific information for each church, and there are lessons in each letter for believers today. The fifth letter is to the church in Sardis. Sardis was one of the oldest and best defended cities in the region, and the wealthy capital of the ancient kingdom of Lydia. As in the previous four letters, the letter to Sardis is from Jesus. Revelation 3 verse 1. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Note that the description of the Lord is different from previous descriptions of the one delivering a message to the churches. Still, the identity of the letter's source is clear. Only Jesus has the seven spirits, or the sevenfold spirit, meaning the complete or perfect Spirit of God. And only Jesus holds the seven stars, that is, the seven angels or pastors of the seven churches. Jesus quickly and clearly condemns the lifeless state of the Sardian church. Revelation 3 verse 2. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. This church may have had a good reputation, but they were spiritually lifeless. In other words, the church is filled with unsaved people going through the motions of religion. To use the words from the parable of Matthew 13 verses 24 to 30, there are many tears among the wheat. So what is the remedy for a dead church? Jesus then calls them to repent of their sin. Continuing in verse 2 and moving into verse 3, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember therefore what you received and heard, obey it and repent. To wake up means to start paying attention to their need of salvation, to stop being careless about their heart's condition before God, to respond to the call that is on the church to pray, fellowship, minister, serve, and evangelize. Jesus notes the judgment that will take place if they do not repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. There are some who interpret this as Jesus disciplining the church. However, this likely means that at the time of the second coming, this dead church will be unprepared for Jesus' return and as such will be lost. After the warning, Jesus offers encouragement to those in Sardis who had remained faithful. Revelation 3 verse 4. Yet you have still a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The faithful remnant had not soiled their garments. That means they had not participated in sin. They are worthy. The idea of walking worthy is also found in the Apostle Paul's teaching in Ephesians 4 verse 1, Colossians 1 verse 10, and 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 12. To be worthy is to match up with something. The profession of faith in the mouth matches the reality of faith in the heart. The faithful ones are promised to walk with Jesus in white. Jesus makes a final promise to the believers in Sardis. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. The one who overcomes is anyone who is born again. Overcomers will receive white garments. These are tokens of righteousness. They will never have their names removed from the book of life, which is a promise of eternal security, and they will be confessed by Jesus in heaven. Pray that the Lord will help you to be full of spiritual life and that you will be an overcomer. Revelation 3 verses 7 to 13 records Christ's message to the sixth of the seven churches. The Philadelphia church is a recipient of this letter. The city of Philadelphia in Asia Minor was located on an imperial trade road and served as the gateway and open door, so to speak, to a large, fertile plateau. Excavations indicate that Philadelphia was a center to which people came for health and healing. Shaken by frequent earthquakes, the city's inhabitants eventually had to abandon it for the countryside. In this message, Jesus identifies himself in verse 7 as him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. This description of Jesus emphasizes his holiness, his sovereignty, and his authority. The reference to the key of David is an allusion to the messianic prophecy of Isaiah 22, verse 22. Jesus is the one who opens and shuts, and no one can deny him. Jesus affirms the church's positive actions. Revelation 3, verse 8. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. The church of Philadelphia is weak in some respects, yet they had remained faithful in the face of trial. Because of this, the Lord promises them an open door of blessing. Jesus' letter then condemns the enemies of the Philadelphia believers. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Those who persecute the believers, the persecutors are religious hypocrites in this case, will one day realize Christ loves his children. The church of Philadelphia will be victorious over its enemies. Jesus encourages the Philadelphia believers regarding his future coming. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The church's faithful endurance will serve as a blessing. He also exhorts them to remain faithful because this will lead to rewards in heaven. Jesus provides a final promise to the believers in Philadelphia and to all believers. Verse 12, him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the image of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down from out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on him my new name. Thomas Constable notes, God promised that he will not just honor overcomers by erecting a pillar in their name in heaven, as was the custom in Philadelphia, he will make them pillars in the spiritual temple of God, the New Jerusalem. Those who will be made pillars in the everlasting house of God are those who once struggled with weakness. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus' words of comfort certainly would have been a blessing to the Philadelphians who had faithfully stood for Christ in their pagan culture. His words continue to serve as an encouragement to faithful believers today. Father, help us to be spiritually vibrant, renewed each day to serve you as you have called us to do so, and help us to be comforted by the promise that Jesus will complete the work that he has begun. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.